So next we have Amy Tate.
Yep.
Tatapu and Kevin Castle, and they'll be talking about looking at the Crossroads Project, which is a prevention program. And you were in a high school, right?
It's actually middle school.
Middle school, and
yeah,
middle
so,
school.
Yeah,
so
the target
efforts.
Population, yeah.
Okay, good.
Let's do 6th and 7th graders, 8th graders.
So
I do need to say, unfortunately, we don't have any personal financial relationships or commercial interests relevant to this presentation existing during the last 12 months, so we did that. And Elite and I both. And this is Elite, and he's going to be talking later.
Actually, use that
sheet
that's left. You must be too much on the screen. Like, go ahead and sit down.
So, yeah.
Rest yourself.
Yeah. We have a slide on that.
So basically, we're going to be talking about Crossroads. It's a tobacco prevention drama for middle school students in Hawaii. And what we hope to do today is to provide background on middle school tobacco use, give an overview of the Crossroads play, a description of the play's statewide dissemination, features of the play as a controlled intervention, and finally, our objectives are to explain the purpose of Crossroads, describe the evaluation program, and illustrate the effectiveness of the play today. That's our objectives. Just to give you some background, about two-thirds of high school students and almost 40% of middle school students have tried smoking in Hawaii. Further, 16% of middle school students, middle school girls and 10% of middle school boys in Hawaii are considered regular smokers. And this information is from the Hawaii Youth Tobacco Survey. So why middle schools? Middle school students who intend to smoke. So with middle school students and Hawaii's multi-ethnic population, few students see themselves as trying a cigarette soon, but actually a good percentage actually project themselves as smokers in the future, either in a year or in 5 years. So that's why we wanted to target that population. And now I'm going to turn it over to Elite, and he can talk more about in detail about the intervention itself and the Crossroads play.
Okay, so we've determined that drama, presenting, going into a school and presenting a show is a safe, non-intrusive way of talking to kids who might consider themselves smokers that wouldn't normally respond well to a one-on-one counseling session or a brief intervention session with a counselor or a parent or a teacher. And we thought that youth would learn through the experience of seeing the show, identify with the characters, and maybe model after the positive behaviors of what they see instead of having a presentation by somebody coming in and presenting a lot of facts and data statistics and not having the kids be able to visualize how it relates to them as students or as individuals. And we've also had previous success with another show for high school students about HIV/AIDS education, teen pregnancy prevention, and so forth. So these are our partnerships, the funders that have helped us throughout the years. Currently, we have a very big grant through the Hawaii Community Foundation, which is going to fund our next 2 years and helping us launch a website and give out student handouts and things that they can take home and funding our next 7 shows. So to set up the show, we had a focus group. We had lots of focus groups targeting different populations. We wanted to make sure that we got enough input from as much students as we could. We went to public schools. We went to private schools. We went to low-income schools. We went to a high-income school or a private school. And we found that most of them gave us the same responses. The youth feel surrounded by smokers, maybe in their family, maybe they know friends who smoke. And whether or not they identify themselves as smokers, they feel that at that age, they are definitely surrounded by the choice of whether or not to smoke. And they thought that the messages about smoking should come from their peers, kids in their schools, and friends, and not so much from teachers or parents. Sometimes if they hear lectures and stuff or saying you shouldn't smoke, don't smoke, then they kind of shut themselves off at that age, being rebellious and whatnot. And they also thought that extended family members are an important influence in the lives of the youth, especially in Hawaii, where we have lots of family barbecues and get-togethers. Sometimes they'll see older cousins that they don't usually see, that they perceive as cooler, that they want to be like, and they see them smoking a cigarette. Or if they see an uncle or auntie that they really like, that they don't usually see on a regular basis smoking a cigarette, then they'll remember that. It's the out in their head. The key intervention features, we have relevant messages During the show, we consistently say, don't smoke. We present all the information. We have professional actors that are paid. We have the playwright and the director, and we also use, this is what I think is most important, a multimedia component that's integrated within the drama. What we do is we set up a giant screen next to the stage area with a backlit projection, so it's not in the way in the front, and then throughout the show we'll show videos and clips and pictures and most importantly information and statistics about what is going on in the show. So you're kind of getting a lecture presentation or the informational and educational section along with the drama. So the kids see the drama, they get emotionally invested into the drama, and then they see the actual statistic, like how much people does secondhand smoke actually affect, or what does smoking cause, short-term, long-term effects of smoking. So I think it's really helpful that we have that, because kids are so into the visual nowadays. The messages that we share are that peer pressure is an important risk factor, like I said, short and long-term consequences. It dispels a lot of the myths about smoking, and it's an honest assessment of the pros and cons. And like I said, the multimedia, we have images, information, video, sounds, music. And this slide up here with the crayons is one of the slides we show at the beginning of our show. We have a pre-show segment while the kids are coming in and sitting down playing on the screen that shows a lot of really effective tobacco, anti-tobacco ads like this and videos. So far, since its inception in 2004, we have performed at over 60 schools statewide. More than 10,000 students have seen the play, and we've analyzed evaluations from over 5,000 students. And just to give you a little bit of an overview before I turn it back over to Kevin about what the actual story is about, it's about a middle school student, just like the kids in the audience, who is surrounded by smokers. His best friend, during the course of the show, tries her first cigarette, and then she gets addicted to it. His older cousin has smoked since the fifth grade, which we just learned from the previous presentation is when a lot of the kids in Taiwan have started to smoke in the fifth grade, and so they're already smoking in middle school. And his grandfather smokes, and has smoked all his life. So he goes home, he sees his grandfather who smokes, his best friend just started smoking. And so the story of the show is how does one student in the audience who wants to be an individual and who wants to make their own decisions face the problems of peer pressure and of smoking, and when he's surrounded by, like, how do they as individuals, make the decision on weighing the pros and cons and whether or not to smoke. So it's very effective, I think, and the kids that we show it to all seem to like it. So now I'm going to turn it back over to Kevin.
Thanks, Alite. And I did fail to mention that Alite is the playwright for the play, so he has all the information. He took all that focus group knowledge and created the play, and it's shown to be really effective. So that was a great job that Alite did with the play. We started to evaluate the play. We actually did a pre- and post-test evaluation design. The survey instrument that we used was created from a number of different surveys, particularly the Tar War survey and the California Tobacco Program survey. So that was adapted through the Hawaii's Outcomes Institute to help fit the characteristics of the play. So we used validated measures. We focused on attitudes and potential behaviors of the students. We assumed a knowledge about tobacco use because, as you heard, there are a lot of programs in the schools already about tobacco use and the problems, the issues surrounding that. So we wanted to weight the survey the evaluations a little bit more heavily on attitudinal items, not just on knowledge and their intended behavior. So we looked at those types of issues with the development of the pre- and post-test. So the pre-test has about 16 items. As you see, most of them are related to attitude items and behavioral items, and two questions about knowledge. And these are just a subset of the questions that are on the pre- and post-test. The post-test, again, measures more heavily attitude and behaviors, but we added some additional features. We had some qualitative measures, some open-ended questions that discuss about the play, and we've tried to look at how well the students actually internalized the characters in the play and how they related to the characters and how they were able to adapt the messages to fit their own circumstances. So through this evaluation, we actually looked at about 2,600 evaluations at the time this publication came out. And the ethnicity was well balanced. We had a good mixture, a good balance of boys to girls. And this ethnic distribution actually matches or mirrors the ethnic distribution in Hawaii. So we were really good in that level. It was really well correlated with the way our population is distributed. So we were fortunate in that way. And these are some of the evaluation outcomes that we saw by just delivering the play and the pre and post test design. We saw huge significance on many of the items, particularly about the understanding the risk of tobacco use, huge significant. Once you start smoking, it's difficult to stop. Social competency scales, huge significant on all levels of evaluation for the play as it was delivered. But our question was it the play itself that caused these changes, or could it be now testing? You know, our students are so sophisticated now, just looking at the instrument that we're using would kind of give them clues about how to answer the question. So we wanted to find out whether or not the results from the play were from the play itself and not from other variables. So what we did was we actually used Hawaii's geography. Because we have non-contiguous islands and we have distinct schools in distinct places, we were really able to test in a controlled intervention design the effectiveness of the play. What we did was we used a population of schools, the Kamehameha schools, which is for Native Hawaiian students. We used a population that was on Oahu for the intervention of the play, this here. And then we had the control group, which is on the Big Island, which is in Hawaii. So we had similar school populations, and we used the geography because we didn't want any the idea that students would talk to each other from different schools about the play. So we had the use of that geography to make sure that that didn't happen. So what we did was we performed the play for the students on Oahu after pre-testing. We pre-tested the students that were on the Big Island, and then we actually administered post-test for students who saw the play and post-test on the Big Island or Hawaii for students who did not see the play. So we got to look at those results. And we were surprised and pleased to see that there was, again, significance in the intervention group, similar to the significance that we saw in the other evaluations of the play. But we didn't see any significance in the control group. So that was pretty exciting for us. So that kind of validated that hopefully it was the effect of the play and not the instrument itself that was causing the changes in the students' knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors towards tobacco use. So because we knew, we actually performed the play again on the Big Island, because we knew we had some evidence that the play was effective, it would be unethical for us not to deliver the play to the school in Hawaii. So we delivered the play to the school on the Big Island a period later, about a month later, and we actually did post-test after that play was viewed. And we were hopeful that we would see tremendously similar significance in that play, in the post-test of the students who had seen the play after they had been pre-tested and post-tested. So we did a post-post-test. And unfortunately, we saw some significance. We saw movement towards significance in a lot of the variables, but we didn't see significance on all the variables. Particularly, we saw significance on the questions related to the knowledge about addiction and tobacco use. One of the things that we thought that this may be due to was the fact that we had such a high prevalence of tobacco use in the population on the Big Island. If you remember, there was about an 11% group of the population that had already tried smoking. So we assume that it might be used due to that effect. Also, one of our results showed that this was an ethical method to test an intervention under real world conditions, and we actually were able to reduce the threats to the validity, including the testing and response bias. The limitations, again, we saw the decreased effect of the play in the control school, and we had some information and some clues about that, but that's something we could actually look at. One of the other things was the delay in administering the post-test at the Big Island School may have reduced the homogeneity of the population that got the post-post-test, because there was such a period of time between the post-test and the post-post-test, because we had to go to the Big Island and show the play and then do the post-test. So we are not guaranteed that this was exactly the same population. one of the issues with the play is that we're not able to match individually the pre- and post-test with the students. That's one of the challenges with the evaluation, was getting the students to remember numbers to put on the pretest or some kind of coding to put on the pretest and post-test that would be useful to look at, match samples. So that was one of the reasons for the decreased effect. So as Alita mentioned, we're going to move into Crossroads 2.0, which would include a take-home gift for the parents as well as the students, so that we could take those messages home to parents who are perhaps smokers to reinforce what the students have learned. We're also looking at continuing the storyline through a website. We know that web-based technology is very popular among younger people, so we want to see if we can create some types of interventions over the web that will continue the storyline for the students. And also we're looking at booster sessions. Okay, good. We're looking at booster sessions with the actors actually going to the schools and talking with the students and perhaps doing some observations so we can kind of triangulate the evaluation and look and do some evaluation on that level and more directly with the students. So my wish list is, as being an outside evaluator, is to develop some better measures of the mechanisms of the play's effect. We know that the play has some effectiveness, but how is that working? Are the students internalizing the characters? Are there some other things that are working? So looking at different instruments to measure that. Also to have scannable match pre- and post-tests. We're not a technology-rich culture out in Hawaii, but we're hopefully working to get those types of technology where we can actually match the pre- and post-tests for the students. And then hopefully one of the things with working with middle school students is because they're only in school for such a short period of time, we lose that population once they go to high school. So we have to figure out a way to track the long-term effects of the play. 5 years from now, do the kids that say they were intended not to be smokers, not smokers? So hopefully we'll discover ways to overcome some of these barriers and look at more effective evaluation measures for the play itself. And I want to acknowledge our partners, which include the Hawaii Department of Health, Hawaii Community Foundation, Kamehameha Schools, co-authors Karen Lobo, the Kalipalama Health Center, of course, Doris Siegel Matsunaga, and Diane Mitschke, who I inherited this evaluation from her, so I was glad to do that. So I'll be glad to open up to questions for either Alita or myself at this time. Yes.
You're using fresh lifers. Did you consider using students?
The drama and the range of emotions that the characters have to go through is so high and it's so important and vital to the show, to the success of the show, that we have actors who are able to convey that we do have open auditions and we do see a wide variety of people. We have seen like 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, students who have come in to audition for the parts that look perfect, that have the energy, that are able to come in and really pump in some life into the reading. But for the more dramatic, serious moments, we found that it's not as effective to have kids who aren't able to relate to it. So we use older professional actors. But some of our actors are still in high school or just out of high school and going to college. And in Hawaii, we're lucky that a lot of our Asian young adult population have a very youthful look to them. So they're able to pull it off with costumes and everything.
Yeah. How long does this play run?
The play, we have two versions of the play because of the bell schedule between. We open it up to, our target audience is middle school, but because we target 6th graders, we have opened it up to elementary schools and say that it's available to your 6th grade classes if they want to come. And because of the different bell schedules, we have to come up with two versions of the play, a 45-minute version or an hour version. And the hour version has a couple extra characters, a little bit more information, but both of them contain essentially the same story, the same information into it. We just have a little bit more in the hour version.
Were there enough students in the delayed intervention group to be able to look at the smokers versus the non-smokers in terms of the results?
That's a good question. Actually, there weren't, because with the controlled intervention, there was only 126 to 100, I think 134 students, and a very small percentage of those were smokers. So it really would be difficult to make any inferences from such a small sample. But we do have a tremendously large population from those that were delivered to play statewide. What my hope is, because we collected so much information, demographic information and other ethnicity information, things like that, that to look at doing some, perhaps doing some modeling to see if there are some other things that are predictors of smoking in those populations. So our hope is to do some further analysis, but our challenge right now is getting the data in and getting it in a timely fashion and analyzing it. So we're trying to interest researchers and other researchers into looking at our data set, because I think it's actually somewhat a better data set than even the Youth Behavioral Risk Factor Survey, because we reach all the schools, we have a really defined population, and we've been testing them for over 3 years. So, you know, it's really a tremendous data set. It has tremendous potential, but unfortunately, we just haven't been able to look at it more closely. And it would be interesting to do that, to look and see if we can look at, are there differences between the smokers and the non-smokers in other factors.
Just to comment in terms of your ID, what you want is not where the students will remember the ID, but where you give them instructions and it has to be things that will not change. So you can't tell them to use their age, for instance.
Right, yeah.
Phone numbers, and it's hard to come up with.
Yeah.
But so you give them the same instructions. You still will have those where they won't match up.
Right.
Even though you have exactly the same. But that's what you have to do is to give them instructions of how to create it.
Ideas that won't change. Yeah, it's been a challenge. We tried birth dates, we tried last digits of phone numbers, and that is one of the major challenges with matching.
Have you tried assigning?
That's where we're going with now. It's assignment. Yeah.
That generate a whole bunch of numbers. Well, kudos to your group, because I'm also an evaluator, and to hear someone that has 5,000 students, I'm just like, that's like an evaluator's strength. Usually you get other people's data, just like here in California, we have the California Healthy Kids, and so you can go to the school district and you have, 50, 60,000 kids. But you didn't collect it yourself. But to collect it yourself and have that many kids, that must feel very good. So, and you've done something. Schools are hard to work with.
Yeah, they are.
Very, very challenging to work with and collect information from, and how you want to do a peer research or evaluation research project. It's always a challenge.
Yeah, it is.
I would be interested in looking at your data.
Okay, we should.
Thanks. So without further ado, we have Dr. Joyce Morris, and she's going to talk about tobacco policy, prevention policy in schools in Oklahoma.
Actually, what I'm going to talk about is using